Welcome to the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. This is the place for everything related to Amazon private label and e-commerce. Learn exactly what you need to start or scale your business. Get insights from the top industry experts who will discuss the latest trends and best practices in the world of Amazon. From choosing products and sourcing from a supplier to setting up your Amazon account and marketing your business, you will hear it here. Let's get started. Here is your host, Vincenzo Toscano.
Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy, the place of AI related to Amazon FBA, private label, and e-commerce. My name is Vincenzo Toscano, founder and CEO of eComsy. And today we bring another special guest. His name is Igor, and he's the co-founder and CEO of Amazonia PPC, which is one of the agencies out there that specialize on making sure that ACoS is as low as possible. This guy knows his game when it comes to PPC. And that's why I wanted to bring Igor to the podcast today, because he has a lot of experience when it comes to Amazon. We've been sharing a lot of great memories at different events already. And I just think that, you know, the amount of wisdom he's going to share with you guys today is going to help you navigate all the challenges that we know in 2024 Amazon sellers are experiencing. So Igor, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. How you doing, my friend?
Likewise, Vincenzo. That's quite a pressure you put on my back right now.
Now you need to perform.
All the wisdom. Yeah. No worries. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's an absolute pleasure to at least meet you online, if not in person again.
Yeah, I know. Whenever we meet in person, sometimes it can be dangerous. So I think it's better online.
Yeah, let's keep it that way.
So now, Igor, so I love, the fact that whenever I had a conversation with you when we went to previous events, you have so many insights when it comes to, you know, what is happening in the Amazon space. And whenever we have a conversation, it always go very deep and technical. And that's why I think today I want to focus on, you know, how things are changing in terms of listing optimization, A+, PPC. Just do a quick 360 overview about some of the things that are really changing. And unfortunately, cannot be done as we used to when it comes to running an Amazon business. So if you want, before we jump into that, just give us a quick intro about who is Igor. And then, of course, happy to jump into the topic. Yeah,
my name is Igor Nuhanovic from Amazonia PPC. I formed the company with my lovely wife in 2014 with Google Ads, and then since 2016, specifically on Amazon PPC. So far so good. We've been having a pause from recording videos and doing podcasts, so right now just restarting everything. So I'm really looking forward to share my insights. And to your point that everything is changing so much, but I keep getting surprised how many basics are actually skipped, because all the noise about the new fancy tools and AI and everything, which is good. But we tend to forget so many basics that we kind of we are aware of it, but just kind of skip because we are hunting the new hacks.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, you mentioned there's something which we could use that as a starting point of the conversation, like AI. Like, it's been this thing that every single conference I go, everybody's talking about AI, which is the new kid on the block, and everybody's saying how it's going to change the way we do things on Amazon, which to some extent I agree. But I also feel people is getting too much into the mindset of, oh, I'm going to fully automate my business and go to the beach, and then I'm going to make millions, which is not reality. So what is your take on that? Like, how you see, for example, people doing when it comes to fully automating their PPC with AI? What is your take on that?
Well, in PPC, I don't think that AI is going to change anything, because we've seen it in the past that some of the tools that were bragging about the AI actually end up creating a chaos in campaign structure, and not at the end of the day, not causing that what they promised. So not in PPC, but in creatives and in listing optimization, it's already changed. So AI is not going to change. It already changed how we do our things, mostly around listing optimization, because Nowadays, you can easily use ChatGPT or any other to your preference to easily create natives, how any native speaker would create product listing, like bullet points and everything. Yeah. You just input your keywords or semantic keywords or just properly describe what you want to have as the outcome, number of characters, etc. And then you really can have pretty solid listing. It's not going to be as good as somebody who's a professional would do it, professional copywriter, but still much better than you would do it, like even a few years ago using Google Translate, you know? So it's really great stuff, but I also know there are some people that are not too happy about it.
Yeah, because I feel at the end of the day, let's be honest, like AI can definitely help you automate certain things and remove a lot of workload from your shoulders, which again is definitely a perk. But from experience, I feel AI is only driven on numbers and KPIs, which I feel is not really what a person that knows marketing always make decisions on, right? Sometimes you make decisions not driven on ACOs or TACOs or conversion rate or things like that. You make decisions on strategic plays that I feel go beyond KPIs. It goes from what is my position as a brand in the market? I'm looking to focus more on awareness, or I'm looking more to play a defensive play, or I'm looking more to eat the market share on this specific keyword, which I think that decision making cannot be done by AI, at least as of now, because the AI, the only thing it does, ACOs is high, reduce the bid. The ACOs is low, increase the bid, but there is no reasoning behind what happens beyond that, right? The actual brand. So I feel maybe you agree with that as well, right?
Yeah, I do agree. And for years, I was a proponent of not using any tool at all. So for years, we were only using spreadsheets and bulk files, doing everything like in the 19th century still, but our clients loved it.
There was Amazon there? I didn't know.
Yeah, it was, but like a deep web one, you know? For a long period of time, our clients appreciated that because that was the time when the new tools started to go out and everybody was promising too much, you know, to the point that didn't make any sense. And what you already said, there are very good tools out there that can at least automate the repetitive things that you or your the partners don't want to be spending too much on, like basic stuff like bid go up, bid go down, depending on various factors. But as you said, no AI can add the seasonality of for example, there was a Made in Italy days on Amazon a few weeks ago in May. So you as human knew that you need to adjust your campaigns, but to input all of those variables in AI, you would actually spend the same amount of time, like you, even more than you actually do it in your account. So it's a mixture. So you're using good tools, reliable ones with experience is a winning strategy.
Awesome. Now, I think we also have to be I think it's going to be important actually to bring this topic to the table, that we see a lot of the shift in terms of how people shop is going into mobile. And every single time you actually go and do some insight analysis around this, we see how mobile is always the dominant as a device. And I feel a lot of people, unfortunately, don't really do a lot of optimization when it comes to mobile, because they may assume, given that most people run the Amazon business from a traditional desktop, that, you know, they only focus on the format of how things look on a big screen. But we see that happening all the time. Competitors that really optimize mobile really get a huge advantage on their competition. And that those small things is usually the thing that could create the effect of, oh, I don't know what happened, but suddenly now all my sales are going down and my competitor is getting this huge conversion boost on it. And usually that could be one of the reasons. Right. So tell us a little bit about how you go around optimizing for mobile, you know?
Yeah, that's actually a great question, and I keep telling people about it. Many sellers are actually skipping to do that. It's kind of inherited issue, because we as marketers, we use our fancy desktops. We have two or three or more monitors.
Maybe screens.
Yes, everything is so big. But sellers also tend to do that because they're behind their laptop optimizing everything. And when the designer team sends them images, they actually preview them on desktop and then completely forgetting how it looks on mobile. And what we should be doing more is that, similarly to what Google does, they really force like mobile first optimization, even for a website. When your code on a website is written in a way that mobile comes first in a code, and then afterwards you have your desktop options and CSS and everything, Google actually promotes your website higher in the search results. So that's the approach that we should also follow on Amazon, because myself having a Google background, and I really, I'm looking forward to any reporting that Amazon can give us. For example, on Google Analytics, like even 10 years ago, you could see not the exact amount of traffic that you receive from mobile, but actually the device type, like is it an iPhone, this or that, and the resolution. So you can really narrow your decision-making. Like I want to optimize for this mobile resolution because most of my buyers actually use that kind of device. While we don't have that on Amazon, the only thing closest to that by a long shot is that we enable those mobile app sessions in business reports, and then can see that most of the accounts actually have 60% coming from mobile app and 40% from the other kind of browsers. But even if we don't have that anywhere available in Seller Central, just we should use common sense, like everybody's using mobile phones while we wait for kids in kindergarten. Even when we are in the toilet, unfortunately, everybody's on mobile, you know. So even if we don't have any data, we can assume that most of the traffic comes from mobile. And there's a cool feature in any browser, Chrome or Firefox, that you can actually enable the developer tools and simulate how your page looks like on mobile. So you don't have to actually grab your phone every now and then to check your listings. But when we do that, then we actually realize that either our fonts on the listings are too small or not visible, or everything is skewed and really doesn't send the image because doesn't send any information. On mobile, people are basing their decisions on images, not on like fancy text. And you could spend your money on good A+ content for desktop, but when you view it on mobile, then you get disappointed, you know.
Exactly. Now something I wanted to ask about this, because when it comes to mobile, another thing I feel maybe people don't do very often as well is also from the perspective of so you mentioned there how the images look on the device and everything, but I know there are some tricks there are to make the image look bigger, for example, compared to your competitors in terms of the ratio, the size and everything. And even from a color perspective, sometimes we see if you change the order, like let's say everybody goes the order from left to right in terms of the position of the object, changing it around or changing the contrast of the images. Like, is there a checklist that you like to go through in terms of what are some of the elements that drive conversion that you can share, like in terms of what you usually see driving the conversion the highest in this device?
In terms of click-through rate and differentiating yourself from the competition, there's no actual list because it varies so much that you cannot actually write it. But in terms of conversion optimization, definitely there are things to be mentioned and followed in every instance. Because, for example, we had a seller who was selling some industrial equipment for 3D printers. So believe me, first three pages, all the main images are the same. You cannot, literally cannot think of any other main image to put on to differentiate yourself. So it's really crazy, but that's an industry category, you know, where engineers come and they look at the numbers of like how precise is the actual filament and that sort of stuff. So it's not about the, it's not imposed by, you know, as in consumables or gifts. But in terms of conversion rate optimization, it's actually shameful that it's so simple. You know, some simple facts like just increase your text, you know, change the color, put a background to your fonts because it's just not visible. So each time that each one of us actually pays attention, then it really feels stupid that we miss that, you know.
Yeah.
Because I can maybe share a checklist for you to put in the description, but overall, I cannot name them all because when I usually take a look at the listing, then actually you can make quite an improvement whenever you try. Actually, everybody can do the exercise.
Cool. Now jumping back to PPC, right? So when it comes from a PPC perspective, like we see all the time, the way people recommend optimizing is been shifting in the way like for example, let's focus very quickly on launch. Like people say when launching, I only focus on sponsored products and then exact match. And then when it comes to optimization, I try to focus more on the conversion rate I get from brand analytics and things like that. So I know there's many methodologies of doing this if you're launching, maintaining, or liquidating, and so on. But just to keep it brief and high level, like what are some of the main changes you see that it's not like it used to be? It could be from a negation point of view, from a bidding point of view, from a keyword distribution point of view. Is there something that you feel people keep doing but still like 2014-15, which is not, it shouldn't be done like that anymore on this?
Something that people keep doing.
Yeah, that is wrong.
Yeah, so many things actually.
For example, something I can bring to the table, and I'm curious to hear your take on this, is how people do negation. There's this big stigma that people say, oh, when you take a keyword from broad phrase and not move it to exact, you should negate the keyword. Or people say you shouldn't now because you get lower CPC and more optimal placement. So, for example, I know back in the days, it's all about negating. If you move from one campaign to another, it's negation. But now people, that's not the case. Do you agree, for example, with this kind of statement? Your guess.
Well, in PPC, from my experience so far, there are no general rules, you know, because I keep surprising myself by what I see. For example, I was looking at the account, so completely not by the books. So campaign structure, like all the couple thousands of SKUs in one auto campaign, all match types together, no negation, no anything. One campaign with down only, the three campaigns, completely same structure. One has down only bidding strategy, one has up and down, and one has fixed bids. That's it. Three campaigns, each three or 4,000 products inside. And the results are amazing. You know, like 3% of ACOS. It's craziness. Yeah. No. And you actually see that even that kind of strategy can work in terms of profitability and ACOS, if you like. But still, something that people still keep on missing is that having a proper campaign structure for growth in the future. Okay, it's nice to have a campaign set up in a minute, just like when you install a program, like next, you know. But eventually, what you end up having is that campaign structure that's preventing you to control the spend and the investment, and then to further grow. And then when you hire some professional, they need to, like, not destroy everything, but make so many changes just to get to a point that you can actually control what's happening in your account. So and online, I just keep hearing those questions, like structuring the campaigns for optimization and for growth.
Awesome.
Unfortunately, still hot topic after so many years, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know. And now another thing that I have also noticed from a strategy perspective when it comes to PPC, people, I feel, don't also leverage the full spectrum of what they can do with sponsor ads, right? They only say in sponsor products, but let's be honest, like, for example, with sponsor display now, this so powerful type of campaign, which is pro targeting, which is sponsor display, which is under the buy box, under the bullet points. Now you can even do videos under the bullet points of your competitors. And I see people not leveraging this kind of ads. Like, What is your take on that? Do you really feel people should be investing more into going sponsor brand, sponsor display, as long as they do it properly? Or you still a huge believer that where the money is sponsor products?
The money is in sponsored products, but if you're not utilizing the other campaign types, you're leaving money on the table. Also, I've seen some of the accounts that sponsored display is doing a terrible job. And the other hand, there's sponsored displays having the best possible performance compared to the other types. But I think that that's the case because now when you mentioned product launches, now obviously more and more people are getting educated that for product launch, you need to focus on single keyword campaigns in exact and bid on your most important keywords for a month or two, forget about ACoS and total ACoS for months and just invest for organic positions. And then people kind of got used to it, like only sponsor product, that's what influenced the ranking, and completely neglecting sponsor brands and sponsor display, like it doesn't matter because it doesn't influence ranking that much. And in that way, it's sponsor products. So I think that's the main reason why people are neglecting that campaign types, in my opinion, because it doesn't help the ranking.
Yeah. Now, we also see when it comes to, so we already talked about, for example, optimization of listing. We've been talking high level about PPC. I feel something that I also want to bring to the table a little bit, which has always been a hot topic, is external traffic. Like we see that being a hot, you know, influencer marketing, doing things with Google, doing things with, you know, YouTube. What is your take on that? Like from your experience, do you really feel when an Amazon seller is struggling, this could be a good vertical for them to explore? Or you feel it's always better to put all your efforts into PPC and eventually if you have some residual revenue, you should go and look for solution outside of Amazon?
I've seen tremendous success for brands utilizing external traffic, specifically influencers from Instagram. Okay. I've also seen that it's too expensive. If you, for example, go on Google, and Google is, as we know, the search platform, research platform. Yeah. So somebody typing the same keyword on Amazon has a buying intent, while on Google, it could be just some little kid looking for Jordans, you know? Yeah. So depending on the category and product type, it can be too expensive because you end up paying high cost per click on top of the funnel instead on Amazon, where that could be middle funnel or a lower funnel, you know? So that's the important difference. And it's worth noting that every seller, every brand should actually determine, if not by themselves, ask a professional. They shouldn't be building brand awareness on Amazon, like just starting and invest in so many like awareness campaigns on Amazon. They can, but it's not that effective. So instead, I would use that money at least for at the beginning and invest that in an influencer marketing where you will see a flood of traffic to your listings, and eventually everything is gonna kickstart pretty good for you if that's the product for you. Because if it's a completely new product with some, it's not an upgraded version of something, it's not a self-speaking microphone. Everybody knows a microphone, but if it's something out of the ordinary and you need to educate the audience about it, then it's madness to invest too much money on PPC and in outline launching, while you should focus on external traffic. And
For sure. And now, what is your take, now that we're talking about external traffic, about going omnichannel, like exploring other marketplaces, such as, for example, Walmart in the US, TikTok Shop, having D2C? I feel, you know, especially in 2024, the days of only relying on Amazon as being the main source of your business is actually very risky, because we know how Amazon is getting more competitive, fees are going up. They can shut you down anytime. So I see big brands shifting into other verticals as well. So from your experience, like, is this something at the end of the day that you see a lot of brands getting a lot of return on their investment, in at least from the span of time they've been doing it so far? Or you feel like for most people, realistically, they should still keep focusing only on Amazon?
Yeah, my take on that is always Amazon should be only one marketplace, definitely. And I keep also advising brand owners to have a website at least, because so many of them concentrated on Amazon and they're having a great business there, but they don't even have a website, believe it or not. And you can have that like in 30 seconds created by AI, as we saw in was it in London that Steve Simonsen presented, like 30 seconds and you have a website, literally. So to your point, having a brand, actually just not sell stuff on Amazon, having a brand is number one. Also, to increase the actual conversion rate, you should have a website. For example, when I shop and wanted to invest a certain amount of money, and I'm not that sure that that's actually a quality product, or if the actual brand has not that many reviews, that I don't know, 10 or 20 or 30, those can be faked, unfortunately. So I go online and search for a brand. If I see them on Ball, on Kaufmax in Germany or anywhere else, then immediately I'm in, you know. But if I don't see anything, just see the results from the search page on Amazon, then it's like, they're okay. The reviews are fine, they're probably. But on the other hand, if the case was that they at least have a website and you go on a website and you see the team, you see the manufacturing process, whatever, you name it, then it's a completely different story. So some of our clients in the past, I hate saying clients, but they were a client in the past, really, they've seen a lot of success on many other marketplaces, because eventually they became a brand, they became an actual company, not just seller, with all due respect. Yeah,
exactly. Cool, Igor. I mean, I think we have covered quite a lot. I know there's still so many things that we can touch on, and that's why I want to leave this last question open for you. Like, in terms of everything we have covered, is there anything else you feel we haven't touched on that you're just thinking, I need to say this because I think it's going to, you know, help a lot of sellers out there? Is there anything else you want to share?
Yeah. For example, I like to recommend a book. Okay. The book went out in 2000, and it's called Don't Make Me Think from Stephen Krug. K-R-U-G, Steve Krug, Don't Make Me Think. The book is about website optimization, and overall it completely aligns with what we need to be doing on Amazon, because we all see that Amazon is now shifting like the experience towards, it's like a website experience for visitors. The book is great. Not just this book, but any book on user experience is useful, because you can actually see and realize, it's kind of when you read that book, you actually realize it perfectly makes sense. You don't want anybody landing on your website or your product listing page and scroll and don't understand what should they do, you know, what should they read about. You should design your whole A+. The point of A+ is not to have it and like it's going to do the magic trick. The A+ should drive your visitor towards the end, towards the actual purchase, you know. Mm-hmm. So I would recommend just going to the good old books, actually, because they contain tremendous amount of knowledge. Because online, we need to keep this podcast as short as possible and concise because of the attention span, you know, but the books don't have that limitation. So
awesome.
That's my goal.
That's great. I'm going to put it down in the notes for all of you guys. So Igor, it's pleasure as usual. Thank you so much. And you know, for those that may want to reach out to you in case you're working with you, how people can find you?
They can Google us, Amazonia PPC. They will find us almost anywhere. We'll leave the link in the description, but just Amazonia PPC, hop on our website. There's a chat option. There's a phone call option, message, whatever. We're going to respond pretty quickly, like in a minute or two, usually.
Wow, that's very good. I love it. Cool, Igor. So thank you so much. Can't wait to meet you again at upcoming events. And in the meantime, I appreciate your time. Have an amazing rest of the week.
Thank you, Vincenzo.
Bye-bye. See ya. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the E-Commerce Lab by eComC. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you are at it, we would appreciate it if you could leave an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. That will make it easier for others to find out about the show and benefit from it. Want more? Visit our website at www.ecomc.com, where you can get your first consultation for free. Or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at ecomc.